Editor's note: this article originally appeared on the Trillium, a Village Media website devoted exclusively to covering provincial politics at Queen's Park Nigig Nibi Kiwin. In Anishinaabemowin Algonquin, it means otters playing together in the water. It's also a symbol of an Ontario First Nation reclaiming jurisdiction over child and family services. Nigig Nibi Kiwin is the Algonquins of Pequakonigan First Nations Child Well-Being Law, which came into force over a year ago on April 19, 2024. A celebration in 2024 of the Algonquins of Pequakonigan First Nations Child Well-Being Law, Nigig Nibi Kiwin, coming into force. Photo credit: Kathleen Barr. Recognized by the Anishinaabek people, the otters are protectors of children, and they also will advocate for children, take in children and care for children that might not be their direct kin, but they are. It is that kinship, it is community, and that's really important, said Alexandra Freed. Freed is the executive director of Nigig Nibi Kiwin Gamik, the agency created to provide prevention, protection and other child and family well-being services and supports under the First Nations new law, and has helped spearhead the reclamation efforts. Every word, every sentence, the language, everything came from the community, Freed said of the child well-being law. She said the First Nations efforts to provide its own child and family services mark a pivotal time for the community located in Renfrew County off the shores of Golden Lake and the Bonnechere River. The First Nations traditional territory expands beyond that, northeast of North Bay, down along the Quebec border past Ottawa to Hawkesbury, close to Kingston on the south and back west past Bancroft and to North Bay. The Algonquins of Pequakonigan First Nation is one of three First Nations in Ontario providing services under its own child and family services laws. The other two are Wabasimung Independent Nations and Kitchenimekusub Ininuwug. It is truly a means of nation building. It's a means also of recovery and that assertion of the laws and the practices that have always existed before time immemorial within the lands, within this community, said Freed. It is a revitalization of the language and that kinship structure and is truly beautiful. One challenge, however, has been the retrieval of files from Children's Aid Societies, CAS, of youth from their community, with Freed saying some are still holding on to Pequakonigan files that should have been transferred. That process is ongoing. Pequakonigan previously fell under the protection mandate of the Family and Children's Services of Renfrew County, but Freed said, it wasn't working. She said consultation with the community was lacking. If there are protection concerns, they need to contact and work with the community and allow and provide that space for the community to guide and make the decisions, and because truly, they had and always will have the best interest for their people at heart, she said. These obligations weren't being met. Family and Children's Services of Renfrew County did not respond to a request for comment before publication. Freed added that the province's Child, Youth and Family Services Act, which lays out children's rights and tasks children's aid societies to investigate child protection concerns, was an imposed model that didn't work. Barbara J. Sarazine, who worked as a prevention worker under the previous system and when Pequakonigan received funding to oversee prevention services in the 1990s, said doing this work made her feel the effects of what she referred to as assimilating policies. I started feeling the effects of CAS still coming in and assimilating our children by taking them as soon as a family got into an argument and a child is in there, Sarazine said, though she acknowledged that severe cases do occur. But how can we protect that child when it comes to culture, connection to the land, connection to their language, and taking them completely out of their environment, and placing them into an environment that's not theirs, and that causes a lot of damage, she said, though she added that there are CAS workers nowadays who want to work with our families. Sarazine, also behind the move toward First Nations-led child and family services, said she approached Freed when she was serving in her first term as a counselor for the First Nation and they discussed a new system that would enable them to start decolonizing. While preliminary work started in 2019 with community consultation and engagement, Pequakonigan's council approved the process towards creating the community's own child well-being law in October 2021. So we started to decolonize those assimilating policies and started to take up our own, Sarazine said. That's how the law started, the law came by the people. Nigig Nibi Kiwin Gamik's website states that the First Nations Child Well-Being Law, is founded on the principle that those affected by decisions should be included in the decision-making process. Where there are safety concerns, Wenjibaj family are able to participate in family circles and healing circles, which promote facilitated discussion and consensus-based planning and decision-making, the website states. Only when consensus cannot be reached are matters referred to the grandparents' tribunal, the dispute resolution process established under Nigig Nibi Kiwin. Sarazin, who is known in the community as Elder Barb, and is a member of the grandparents' tribunal, said, "Children are never taken into care unless it's a severe issue that mom and dad need to take care of. It's not separating families, it's finding ways to keep them together, finding ways to ensure that mom and dad can care for their child, and if it's groceries, or maybe they paid the rent and they're short on groceries, we ensure the groceries are there," she said, adding that it could also mean helping ensure parents can get to appointments if a child needs extra care. If the agency does need to take a child into care, they are placed under the care of the same family, Sarazin said. A powwow in Pequannagan in 2024. Photo credit. Kathleen Barr. We know that they're here in Pequannagan. We know that they're in the territory, and we know what family line they're in, she said. If mom and dad are having a problem, native family comes in, that native family has to be a brother, sister, mom, dad, cousin, someone in their community, it goes down the line, aunties, uncles, take their children. If I personally had a child that was in care, I would love the knowledge to know that I get to go and visit my family and my child's going to be there, Sarazin said. I'd like to know that I'm going to a powwow and I'm going to be meeting my child there and here's the outfit that I created for my child. Data sovereignty. Through the community consultation process, Fried said she's heard that data sovereignty is key. It's critical. It's important, and it's about taking back, she said. You have to recognize the whole person and ensure that their story is safe and they're safe in their community to do this work. Children's Aid Societies use the Child Protection Information Network, CPIN, to store information related to the provision of child welfare services, including details about children and families receiving these services. Fried said narratives written under the Child, Youth and Family Services Act system about children of Pequannagan were interpretations from those workers within child welfare agencies. So moving forward, all data stays here. It is not shared with the Ontario government. It stays out of the Child Protection Information Network system, and we're designing our own system, and it's ensuring that those stories that are written are accurate, they're the truth, they're not manipulated, they're not somebody else's perspective, she said. When First Nations start the process of reclaiming jurisdiction over child and family services, notices are sent to all CAS to start the process of getting those files, said Fried, adding that part of this is also to help a First Nations child well-being agency create a business model so it can receive funding based on population and the number of files in the CPIN system. If we don't have that information from the beginning, from the onset of the work, it can really underfund nations, and also it doesn't allow them to prepare to really understand and analyze the files that are held within the CPIN system or through the agencies, Fried said. We've had files that were held from us, we didn't include them in our business plan and model, and a lot of those files consisted of really complex special needs which have a higher financial obligation to support them, she said. Some agencies did not do it, and some agencies are still holding on to Pequannagan files that should have been transferred. Sarazin said Fried is still working on retrieving CAS files. There's so many people that are out there, so many that were taken that it's a long process, but it will continue till every last one of us are back together, said Sarazin. And if somebody comes and tells us that they know they're from Pequannagan, but they don't know where, perhaps then we'll have the files on our hand and we're able to say, this is who you are, she said. And that's one of my goals, that's one of my dreams, that's on my bucket list, so somebody out there who is lost, hurt and broken, that they can find who they are, their central balance to be restored to them. And that's what Nigig means to me. Agency team growing. Fried said they started with a team of 6 and that Nigig Nibi Kiwin Gamak is now up to around 50 people. The agency's business plan includes more than 100 full-time employees. "We will get there," she said, adding that the plan was to set up 2 satellite offices so that the agency could respond to reports, such as of a child or youth being in danger, within 24 hours, as per the new law. Fried said ongoing outreach and education within the community is also critical, particularly after having to navigate the healing of those relationships that have been damaged under the previous system. "If something didn't work for you before, how do you trust something new?" she said. One focus of the new law, Fried said, is to ensure that there is wraparound care in the community. She said First Nations have been limited in the services they can provide within the community with the funding they receive. So it's important that when you're building and you're taking all of these aspects into consideration, people should not have to leave their communities. They should not have to step out. All services that they need should be here, she said. The healing and the wellness needs to be occurring where they are living, because you step out to do the work, you come back, and you've changed perhaps, but maybe aspects that were debilitating against you in your own community are still there, Fried added. The federal government marked the day Ngig-Nibi-Kiwin went into force. Ngig-Nibi-Kiwin will have the force of law as federal law, in accordance with Bill C-92, an act respecting First Nations, Inuit and Métis children, youth and families, said a press release on April 19, 2024, adding that the law stemmed from years of work by the First Nations leadership, community, staff, elders and knowledge keepers. The federal act became law in June 2019 and aimed to enshrine into law what Indigenous peoples across Canada have asked of governments for decades, to affirm and recognize their jurisdiction over child and family services. The federal government said in April 2024 that the next step would be for the First Nation and the federal and provincial governments to reach a coordination agreement and associated fiscal arrangements to support Ngig-Nibi-Kiwin's implementation. That agreement was announced March 21 of this year, with the federal government committing $18.8 million in annual implementation funding and promising additional funding for startup and capital costs. Negotiations for a funding agreement are also underway between Pequannagan, Ngig-Nibi-Kiwin Gamik, and Ontario, the federal government stated at the time. An Ontario government spokesperson said last month that negotiations remain underway. "Our government is working in lockstep with First Nations, Inuit, and Métis representatives to support the unique needs of Indigenous communities and ensure all children, youth and families have the supports they need," the spokesperson said, noting that in addition to the 3 First Nations already providing services under their own laws, the government is negotiating with a number of other First Nations who have provided notice that they intend to deliver child and family services governed by Indigenous law pursuant to the Federal Act. This also comes as the Ontario government conducts an audit of Ontario's 37 non-Indigenous children's aid societies. Premier Doug Ford announced the audit last August in response to a question from the Trillium about the increasing number of Ontario parents who were surrendering custody of kids with high needs to children's aid societies because they couldn't access services and support to keep them safe at home. The federal government said in its March news release that Ngig-Nibi-Kiwin Gamik would continue to deliver services and supports, with a culturally grounded and prevention and family-first approach, directly investing in Indigenous communities as they lead the reform of child and family services in their communities is essential. Pequannagan is in the best position to determine what is important for its people, it added. Prior to the coordination agreement being signed, Ngig-Nibi-Kiwin Gamik was receiving some funding through Indigenous Services Canada and the province to fund prevention services, according to Fried. Funding also flowed from Family and Children's Services of Renfrew County to Ngig-Nibi-Kiwin Gamik for cases that were transferred and had costs associated with them. Fried said that funding for a new 24,000-square-foot facility was also secured through the coordination agreement, and that another of the agency's projects includes a 10-unit transitional home to support youth in care who want to return to the community. "The law was developed to ensure that every Ninijinisenanig, children, had their name and they understood who they were as an Algonquin person, to understand where they come from, that they had access to cultural practices, access to education, access to healing and space provided so they can be with their families," she said. Editor's note: this story was produced as part of Spotlight, Child Welfare, a collaborative journalism project that aims to improve reporting on the child welfare system. Tell us what you think.